What you manifest in your mind, you can bring to reality.
Yesterday, new movie out in theaters, directed by Danny Boyle, the director that brought us Trainspotting and Trainspotting 2, 127 hours, 28 days later, Millions. He's directed a lot of different types of movies, Slumdog Millionaire, different genres, just a really, I really enjoy his style, his sense of storytelling. And this is a definitely unique type of story. It is follows a musician, singer-songwriter. He's a struggling musician out in the UK. And then one night, there's this power outage, this blackout that happens globally. He gets in an accident. And coming out of his accident, he realizes he's given a new guitar as a gift. And to break the new guitar in front of his friends, he decides to play a Beatles song, but none of his friends recognize the song. And as he goes through his day or his week or whatever it is, he realizes that the Beatles actually no longer exist. A scene that happens many times throughout this movie is the main character going to Google something to see what the fuck happened, why people don't know about it. And the Beatles are pretty much the main crux of this. There are a few other things, which I don't know if they're related to the Beatles necessarily, because the Beatles are gone, but then also Oasis is gone, which is a joke about them being, like, if the Beatles weren't around, then Oasis never would have been a band. So, like, I get that joke. But then also Coca-Cola isn't a thing. Cigarettes aren't a thing. And I believe there's other stuff that just don't exist in this world, but I'm not sure if they're random or if, like, Coca-Cola, like, there's some story where Coca-Cola and the Beatles are, like, responsible for, I don't know. So an interesting premise where this guy all of a sudden, now has the songs of the Beatles, which he is the only one to be able to replay and remember. And so it's kind of him trying to, I mean, a lot of scenes of him trying to remember the lyrics to Beatles music, but it's also him now that he has this ability to kind of grow. And he's still, like, some people don't, because they don't know what the Beatles are, they don't know the importance of the music, which I find to be very, it's a very interesting premise overall as an artist, because as an artist, you're trying to create new things, and a lot of times the things that you're creating are hybrids of what you've been exposed to in your life. So music, in a lot of sense, like the Beatles, even within the Beatles catalog of music, they change. They went from like a pop band to being like a psychedelic kind of rock band. Because of them growing and, you know, just the widespread use of psychedelics in the, I believe it was the 70s or 60s or whatever. So they went from like the kind of teeny bopper 50s, and then they broke through into, like, they changed throughout their catalog. Whereas if you're just an artist doing that into the modern day era, like, I don't know necessarily if all of the Beatles songs would, if they didn't exist ever, and there was an artist that came out and did the Beatles songs today, I don't know if they would be regarded as such works of art if they were created today. I think the time and place of the creation of art speaks to the time and place for which they were created. Now, they last a long time. Like, somebody who just now starts listening to the Beatles, a kid growing up, gets introduced to the Beatles now, and they start listening to them, may become their favorite band. But I don't know necessarily if they came out with their work today that it would be regarded in the same light. Where this movie takes the position that it would be. So that him, just by virtue of playing those songs, not even necessarily just the songs themselves, it's not even like the band, not that the music that was played was anything specifically magical or that it fired things in people's brains that made them love it in a certain way at that certain time, but the songs specifically are what hooked people. And I believe the Beatles songs were written by different members of the bands of the band. You know, so it's interesting. It's interesting. It's an interesting kind of exploration of that. There's a modern day musician, Ed Sheeran, which I'm not. I probably, if I heard one of his songs, maybe that one of his songs were actually in the movie. The name sounds familiar, but I'm not, like, I don't know what music he does. I wouldn't, if I was listening to the radio and one of his songs came on, or I'm listening to, you know, Apple Music and one of his songs came on, I wouldn't be like, oh, here's that Ed Sheeran hit. But I recognize that he's a current pop star or whatever, a musician. And it's a funny, he plays a funny part of this movie in some ways, because as the main character gets popular playing this music, you know, he gets wooed by a new manager and, you know, kind of gets the taste of what Hollywood is like. There's a similar exploration of that in the TV show Flight of the Conchords, which I enjoyed that show very much, about the comedy music duo Flight of the Conchords. But I think the third season of that show explores the kind of what happens when big business meets art when it comes to music. And you see that with this show. But it was overall an interesting premise, done in a good way. I don't think it's not one of those movies. It's definitely a movie that's fun to watch and enjoyable, especially if you like, you don't have to like Beatles music, but if you do like Beatles music, it's going to make it even that much better. But the premise is just interesting. It's, you know, high concept, what happens if the Beatles, and then also as an artist, how would it feel like if that were flipped into like painting, and then all of a sudden, like, I woke up and Salvador Dali was no longer an artist, but then I remembered his work, and I was also capable of making paintings like him. So I just copied Salvador Dali's artwork and then became popular. And like, I would feel like such a false person. But then you look at music, bringing it back to music, where like most musicians aren't writing their own stuff, which in this movie, they explicitly mention how he writes his own, he's a man alone. He writes and performs all of his music. Unlike all the popular music nowadays where it's, you know, 20 producers and 15 writers and like all these collaborators just to put out a hit, but then, you know, Beyonce's the figurehead, even though she's not really making any of the music, she's just the performer. Like, it's all a business. It's all like trying to make a product. And if I was the sole product maker, but all of my stuff was based on like somebody else's work, it would just be like, this movie should have gone way darker. Like, the struggles that he should have had as an artist, basically stealing from other artists in a way, should have gone darker. But on the same token, it has been described by artists and performers, comedians specifically, I've heard of, Joe Rogan even more specifically, that they feel like when they're in the zone, they feel like they're more of an antenna rather than the person creating the work, where it just flows out of them. So on some level, is what he feels knowing already these songs, and still he still has to kind of remember them, he's still bringing them out of his brain, like, if that's in a way him being an antenna. There's some complexities to this from a creative standpoint as an artist, but overall it was a fun movie, so go check out Yesterday. It's Danny Boyle's the shit, and I enjoyed this movie more than I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was a really fun time at the movie. But that's it for this episode. New episodes daily. Subscribe on IGTV and everywhere else podcasts are found. Go to inspireddisorder.com and buy my original artwork by myself, painted by me, and save 10% when you use coupon code INSPIRED. @RayTaylor for me on all social media. Have a great day, everybody. Peace out!